You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Allbaugh, along with our producer and engineer, the fantastic Mr. Aaron Zommer, is back on the board. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Thursday, May 29th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Glad to have you along from the world headquarters of Civic Media in downtown Madison, Wisconsin on State Street. Zommers, welcome back. Glad you're here. It's a little overcast today, but all in all, not too bad. Nice day out here in Madison.
Yeah, and if we take a quick look at the Sam Davison Street cam.
Look at that.
You can see it's a little more bustling than it sometimes is at this hour.
Yes, yesterday we looked out there and it was like a desert. But yeah, people are moving around on bikes, walking around downtown Madison here. Not too bad at all. Glad to have you back. Speaking of Sam Davison, we had him on the show filling in for you yesterday. And it was great because we got to thank him. He's leaving the company tomorrow. And so... I'm sure he's not listening now, so it doesn't matter. But we talked about Great Sam's yesterday, and I said Hot Sam, and he had never heard of Hot Sam before. Have you heard of that?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
So I'm not sure if it's in existence anymore, but back in the day, it was one of my favorite, maybe my favorite part of going to Westtown Mall, or many malls in the state of Wisconsin, because they had a Hot Sam shop, and a Hot Sam was a pretzel, and kind of the precursor to the Auntie Anne's, which you see today.
Wikipedia, the article on Hot Sam's or Hot Sam starts out, Hot Sam Pretzels was an American restaurant chain. Yep, they closed in 2005.
I'm telling you, the country is going to hell in a handbasket.
It's all because of Hot Sam.
It's all because Hot Sam's went out of business. It was great. They had fresh hot pretzels, mustard, cheese sauce, the works. And it was a great meal when he went to the mall. And so I asked, and I explained this to Sam Davis yesterday. I said, would you wear a Hot Sam t-shirt if I got you one? He said, absolutely. So I've ordered
it. Figure that. Oh, you found one.
I found one. I ordered it on Amazon, of course, right after the show.
Beautiful.
Sadly, it's not going to arrive until Saturday.
We'll figure it out.
But I thought I'll give him a little card tomorrow, and so we'll send him off with a Hot Sam t-shirt.
That is excellent.
I'm not sure about you. You can hear it in my voice. My voice is starting to go, and I got to fill in tomorrow morning for Kreitlow on the Mornings with Pat Kreitlow program. It'll be Mornings with Pat Kreitlow with Todd Allbaugh.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow with Todd Allbaugh with Help Pat Kreitlow.
Right. And so I'm happy to do it after he hosted us up there at Lake Wissota last week, but I got to go to bed early and I got to do 5 hours tomorrow.
And you got to drink some tea with honey or something like that.
My allergies are just bogging me down. And then of course, yesterday I found out I have a fatty liver. So I'm falling apart.
What an excellent day.
Right? But you were off yesterday. You had a little eye thing and you're fine.
Yeah, I had my eye checkup after last year. They had some concerns last year, but like I had a lot of floaters, which means that
I've had those.
It is possible that my retina could become detached.
Yeah. You don't want that.
That's not good.
No.
But I have not had more floaters since last year, and my prescription has remained stable.
Good for
basically
you.
No change in the right eye, slightly worse in the left eye. Mm. And so I don't need new glasses, and they said I can come back in 2 years instead of one.
Look at that. See? Another reminder, particularly to us men who too often don't take care of ourselves, go get your checkup, get yourself. Because you could address things when you know about it early. I found out apparently I'm at stage zero of fatty liver disease. So, and I found out it's reversible or nearly reversible with a good diet and exercise. So
it'll take some work, but you can fix it.
Yeah. So that's my new project, taking care of my liver. But it's going to be a great show today. Coming up in hour two, what's worse today, too busy or nothing to do? To me, this is an easy one, but we'll talk about that hour two. And also in hour two, be ready. Think about, I'm not sure about you, Zommers. I've had these kind of relationships where you get into a relationship, it burns fast and bright, and then it's over. And then you're broken up. And so there is a big breakup in Washington, D.C. Elon Musk has announced he's leaving Donald Trump, or at least stepping down, as he calls it, from heading Doggy, Doge, the made-up agency of Department of Government and Energy or whatever, efficiency.
Efficiency.
Yeah, that's it. I'm on a lot of sinus meds today, folks. It could be a very interesting show. So anyway, Musk is leaving Trump. And so I thought it'd be a good day to talk about have you got a good breakup story? Did you meet someone, it was hot and heavy, and then it was over? And also, we'll take a look, according to Billboard magazine, the top 100 breakup songs.
We're going to listen to the entirety of all 100.
No, we're not. But wouldn't that be something? So we're going to talk about breakup songs and breaking up. Breaking up is hard to do. But not for Elon Musk, who is leaving, saying this is too much. And I find it interesting, maybe the nail in Musk's coffin in his dabbling into U.S. government was the fact that he lost a big race. He put $20 million to help Brad Schimmel win the Supreme Court race here in Wisconsin and got his posterior kicked by Susan Crawford.
Trump doesn't like losers.
Suckers and losers, as he says. So anyway, that we're going to talk about breakups and breakup songs in hour two as well. Coming up, though, in about 5 minutes or pardon, 10 minutes or less, Wisconsin's Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. She is traveling around the state. Going to talk about some of her travels, what Wisconsinites are telling her all across the state of Wisconsin. And also, the Joint Finance Committee expected to go into executive session here this week, and some of the things she's hearing, and also from the Evers Rodriguez point of view, what do they want to see in this budget? And is there a way to reach a compromise so that we don't get in a position where there is no state budget? Because in Wisconsin, of course, unlike in Washington, D.C., if the legislature and governor cannot decide on a budget, it simply, government does not shut down. It just continues on at the last budget levels. So we'll talk to Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez about all of that coming up in just a minute as well. Jeff Perry, our friend and ongoing contributor on Facebook, says, unfortunately, Todd, I have a fat head, which is not reversible. Isn't that a company that does like those pictures that you can put up on a wall?
Or which company?
Fathead.
I don't know. That sounds familiar.
Yeah, I think like you can get like sports figures. You can send in your own picture, then it goes up on the wall. David New Berlin texting in on the Civic Media app says, Todd, I've got a 54th birthday. I have 54 birthdays behind me, too. I've never heard of Hot Sam's. Really? Well, I don't know, Dave. Did you grow up in Wisconsin? Did you go to the mall back in the 70s and 80s? It was a big thing for us. We come in from Richland Center and, ooh, get to have a Hot Sam. Anyway, so we'll talk about all that in a minute. But also, I want to point this out, Sommers. Today marks the 177th birthday of the state of Wisconsin. Happy birthday to us.
Woo!
Exactly. There you go. But yeah, we turned 177 today. Of course, the first territorial capital of the state of Wisconsin, down in Belmont, Wisconsin, as my former professor at UW-Platteville, Jack O'Neill, was fond of saying, the crossroads of the nation. And I looked this up today because I thought, is Belmont really the crossroads of the nation? And apparently not now. Now I believe the crossroads technically, meaning the exact halfway point between the west and east coast of the country, is now, I believe, in Kansas, a town in Kansas. But for a brief time in, I've got it written down, just hang on. I got to go over here to my bag. 2 seconds. Sorry, it was out of reach. Because I wrote this down. I thought I better be accurate. So it was for a brief time in 1836, for all of you history buffs out there, in 1836, Belmont, Wisconsin, was indeed the crossroads of the nation.
Huh. Well, there you go. You learn something every day.
So Jack was right. Not that I thought he was wrong. But he was right. At one time, Belmont, Wisconsin, the first territorial capital of Wisconsin, was indeed the crossroads of the nation. And so they were going to have the state capital down there. And then they were meeting in the dead of winter. This is a true story. Meeting in the dead of winter, and a guy who owned a bunch of swampland in a place called Madison went down there. He had a bunch of beavers and stuff, and he was a trapper. And so he took all these furs in a horse and cart or wagon, went down to Belmont, went in where the territorial state legislature was meeting, and he said, "Gentlemen," they're all men at that point, "Gentlemen, I know you have an important vote coming up here the next couple of days on where the permanent capital of Wisconsin should be, this great state of ours. And I would hope that you would consider Madison. And by the way, I happen to bring you all a gift of furs, the fur coats, furs, to keep you warm in this, because it's just a little clapboard, uninsulated house down in Belmont. It's still there. If you go to Belmont, Wisconsin, you can visit the first territorial state capital." And so he said, I'm going to give you this gift of furs and leave you to your work. Oh, and also, as a side note, if you were to relocate the capital of Wisconsin from Belmont to Madison, I would be so gracious that I would give you each a plot of land on which to build a home.
So bribery.
Yes.
Is why Madison's the capital.
100%. And a couple of days later, they took a vote. Let's move to Madison.
Unanimous, I'm sure.
I don't know if it was unanimous, but that's a true story. That is how Madison, Wisconsin, ended up being the capital. Because where we sit right now, there's a little, you go up State Street here, and the capital sits, I don't want to call it a hill, but it's elevated.
Elevated slightly, yeah.
And that's all fill. They brought in all that dirt.
Punxsutawney fill?
I don't know. They brought in dirt and rocks and everything and filled it in and built the Capitol on that. So there you go. As my former history teacher, Ken Lewis, is fond of saying, hitherto unknown facts.
It all comes down, as Jack O'Neill said, it all comes down to the dollar sign.
Exactly right. Maybe that's what we're going through this thing. They want us to do merch, which is great, but I'm trying to, and so what should we have on our t-shirt? Maybe we should just have a dollar sign.
Maybe you need to contact.
And it says, it all comes down to that.
Maybe you need to pay royalties to your past teachers and professors.
I'm sure they would appreciate
and their families.
That. I'm sure they would appreciate that. But first we got to sell something. I think a dollar sign with "it all comes down to that." That's pretty good, Zomer.
That could work.
I think that could absolutely work. All right, we'll come back here in a second and talk to Wisconsin's Lieutenant Governor, Sarah Rodriguez, who is on this state of Wisconsin birthday. Find out what's on her mind. Find out what she's hearing from people all across the state of Wisconsin. And also talk about the state budget. There is a $4 billion plus state surplus. How should our tax money be used? Talk about all that next with Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. Stay with us. It's the All Ball Show across Wisconsin. Lake Gitchagumi here on a Thursday, May 29th on the Civic Media. Ready to.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 22 now, past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Thursday, May 29th, 2025. Glad to have you along as I fight my allergies here. I apologize for the voice today, but we'll get through it. Pleased to have our next guest here joining us via StreamYard. Welcome her back to the show. She is Wisconsin's Lieutenant Governor. Sarah Rodriguez is here with us. And Lieutenant Governor, first and foremost, happy 177th birthday to the state of Wisconsin.
Woohoo! Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us once again. I was telling this story in the last segment there before you came on, and it's only because my former boss Dale Schultz represented Belmont for many, many years, and now the late great state legislator Steve Freeze, who represented that area as well, he was a great historian, and told it much better than I did, but how Belmont was, of course, the first territorial capital, and it was a fur trader and landowner in Madison who went down and basically bribed the legislature in the middle of winter with furs and plots of land to move from Belmont to Madison. And so, Wisconsin kicked off, our statehood with a bribe. Not too much different than what we're seeing today, right? In Washington.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, I always enjoy that story. But on this birthday of Wisconsin, as our lieutenant governor, just personally speaking, what are some of your you've been traveling around the state a lot. What are some of your favorite parts about this state in which we live?
You know, it's funny. I love all the different parts of the state. I particularly love the Driftless region. That is a gorgeous part of the state with
Agreed.
All of the different rock formations. It's fantastic. But we have so many lakes here in Wisconsin too. And my family, every summer, we pick a different place to go. We rent a house, we rent a boat, and we do nothing for a week. And it is amazing. We get a 1,000-piece puzzle. We make food at the house and we just do absolutely nothing. And Wisconsin, I think, is becoming more known for all of these outdoor activities that you can do, whether that's hiking, biking, fishing, boating, all of these things that we can do. We've got the Ice Age Trail now that you could do the entire state if you wanted to go backpacking. That is my favorite part about Wisconsin, and that it's all four seasons. That we can do something in the winter, the fall, the spring, the summer. As long as you have the right clothes on, you are good to go to do anything you want outside.
I couldn't agree more. And, I don't know, there's a lot of people that travel more than me, but I've been outside the country and traveled quite a bit inside the country. And I tell people I love to travel, but whether I'm driving back or flying back, I'm never sorry to be coming back to Wisconsin. Just for all the reasons that you just said, I truly do feel it is one of the best places to live in the United States.
I do. I mean, of course it is.
Right?
Of course.
What's our lieutenant governor going to say, right?
Is the best place. But I mean, honestly, I grew up here. I ran away a little bit for school. But when I had my two kids, this is where I knew I wanted to raise them. And so when they were little and small, we moved back to make sure that we could raise our kids in Wisconsin, near family, really good school districts here, safe community kind of experience. We wanted to raise them in the Midwest. And that is because Wisconsin's so fantastic. It's so beautiful here. The people are kind and generous, and it's a great place to raise a family.
That really is. Oh, we're going to come back after the break here, get more into the nitty-gritty, the policy and things going on right now in the state of Wisconsin. But we got about 3.5 minutes here before we go to break, Lieutenant Governor. As you've traveled around here lately, around the state of Wisconsin, give us two or three of the top issues right now you're hearing from Wisconsinites that are on their mind.
Well, yeah, I've been, I go to all 72 counties every year. I've done that every year. I've been lieutenant governor, and I'm well on my way this year to complete 72 counties. And the last couple of weeks, I've been really talking about the budget and talking to folks who are out there in the community in different parts of the state, talking about our administration's budget and having that conversation as well about the federal budget and the federal cuts that may be coming and things that have already been cut, that they've had their grants frozen or they're unable to submit receipts to get reimbursement. And what I'm hearing from folks is whether you're a not-for-profit who's trying to take care of vulnerable people, vulnerable kids, older adults, or you're a small business owner, this chaos at the federal level makes it so difficult to plan. So people are just hunkering down, trying to figure out and read the tea leaves about what's happened on the federal level. And what they're asking from me and from the administration is we need some stability in Wisconsin. We need us to make sure that we are investing in Wisconsinites because we cannot rely on the federal government to be able to plan for our business, for our organization, for our kids and our families. And that's really hard for people to be able to figure out what they're going to be doing moving forward if they can't rely on what's happening at the federal government.
I'd be interested to get your take on this, because what I hear as we travel with our show around the state, very similar to what you just said, but people are telling me, Todd, I just get overwhelmed. I can't listen to the news all day because it gets depressing. But I think you just said it so well that while I get it, it does get depressing with this fire hose of bad news every day out of D.C. What you just said, we as Wisconsinites are going to feel the effects of those decisions.
Mm-hmm. We absolutely are. You talk about some of these federal cuts. We are already feeling the effects of some of these federal cuts. My dad, he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's in his 60s. We use the Aging, Disability, and Resource Center to be able to find him resources. That a lot of that funding comes from Medicaid.
Yeah.
So Medicaid helps people with disabilities, helps aging adults, and those services that they provide are funded through Medicaid in some way. So if we're talking about cuts to Medicaid, that's going to affect so many different services across the state.
Yeah, it absolutely is. My dad was diagnosed with dementia about a year ago, so we're looking at the same types of things, and nursing homes obviously as well. We're going to talk more about the effects of federal cuts to Wisconsinites and also what's happening at the state capitol in regards to the state budget. Don't go anywhere. It's Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez on the All Balls Show right here across Wisconsin on the Civic Media. Ready to pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd All Ball Show across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along with us. 35 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Thursday, May 29th. Zommer's on the board. Glad to have him back. And also right now joining us for this next segment once again, Wisconsin's Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez joins us via StreamYard on this, the state of Wisconsin's 177th birthday. Sean in Richland Center listening on WRCE says, I believe it was James Doty who bribed people to vote for Madison. Also think Madison beat out Cassville by one vote for being the state capital. Thank you, Sean. I think you're right about it was James Doty who did that, but I did not know that Cassville lost by one vote. As they say in the movie, just a bit outside. How about that, Lieutenant Governor? Had it not been for a bribe, you'd be, you know, meeting down in Belt. You and I are one of our favorite places, Southwest Wisconsin, the Driftless.
There you go. Absolutely.
Again, you've been traveling around the state, and before the break there, just talking about that you were hearing from people the anxiety of what's happening in Washington and how this lands back here at home in Wisconsin. And for some people, that's for the Medicaid cuts, Medicare. Explain just again how this works, because I know we've had, and I guess not just that, but another issue that I think is really important you can talk about if you'd like. We had people on this show here, Zommer's a couple of weeks ago from Barron County that ran a child care center there, and they were down here lobbying the legislature for money because, as it turns out, child care in this state was already kind of in danger in terms of not being able to make it financially. Then the pandemic comes along. We get federal funding through for the pandemic COVID money from the feds. That is running out. And what we're hearing, and I'd be interested to hear what you've heard, Lieutenant Governor, is that a lot of places, particularly in rural Wisconsin, are saying, look, we can't charge what child care centers in Madison and Milwaukee do because our clients don't have that kind of income. And without some sort of state help, we're going to go out of business.
Yeah, I'm hearing that as well. And the governor we've included in our budget child care counts, which are dollars that can go towards these child care agencies that would be helpful and to be able to subsidize some of kind of middle income folks. So when I speak to some of the child care agencies, you know, the lower income folks who qualify for 100% subsidies, they're probably going to still be okay. The wealthier people, they could probably take a little bit of an increase in their child care costs. It's people like me, right? I'm a nurse. I'm not a super wasn't a super wealthy person and not a super wealthy person now. Those are the kind of people who are going to suffer because they're not getting any subsidies from the state for their child care. And to be able to absorb that into a family budget, it is so expensive. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So expensive to be able to put your kids in child care. And that is what I'm hearing from people, and that the spots just aren't available. And so some people have wanted to go back to work, but couldn't find a spot for their child. And so ended up staying at home until their child was 6 months, 9 months, a year, until they could get a child care slot. It is a crisis in Wisconsin. Governor Evers and I, we have some really good pieces of in the budget to be able to address this. We are working with the Republican Joint Finance Committee, and they have to know it's a crisis as well within their communities. So wanting to make sure that we keep that in the budget moving forward.
Before we get into the budget specifically, another program that I wanted to just highlight and get your take on as you've traveled around the state, Lieutenant Governor, is this issue of what's commonly known as food stamps. Now they're called SNAP benefits here in the state of Wisconsin. What are you hearing about this and these implications of what's happening in Washington, D.C. and how that transcends down to Wisconsin?
Well, and I will tell you that we had to put our budget together here in Wisconsin before we knew what type of cuts that the Republicans in Washington were going to be proposing. And so now we're having to play a little bit of catch up, just like businesses can't prepare and plan. You know, state governments can't prepare and plan if we have this level of chaos going on at the federal government. If the bill goes through as written through the House right now, that's an extra $350 million that is going to be hitting our taxpayers here in Wisconsin that we would have been able to get from the federal government that we didn't have time to prepare for. So, you know, that is something that we're going to have to figure out. Either we have to put in an additional $350 million into SNAP benefits, which is food, by the way. It is food for people. We don't want kids to go hungry. We don't want older adults to go hungry in Wisconsin. I know my neighbors don't want that, Republicans, Democrats. And we did not have a chance, or we have to restrict benefits. Those are the two choices that we have. Either we have to be able to put those dollars in, or we have to restrict benefits. And we certainly don't want to do either of those things. We want the federal government to continue to do what they've said they were going to do and match it at the same percentage.
Yeah. And just one more quick note on this, because my former party now, they like to spend a lot of time on, oh, geez, maybe we should decide what people are on SNAP are going to eat. Like, we don't want them to get candy bars or so. There's always going to be a case or two or three. And then those are just blown up as to, well, everybody's doing it, right? I mean, I remember when I was working for the state Senate and you know, I don't care anymore because I've long left politics. But in a closed Senate Republican caucus, then State Senator Glenn Grothman, now United States Congressman Glenn Grothman, spent 10 minutes talking about how he didn't think that people on SNAP should be able to buy Skittles. Skittles. It got down. Well, you know, if they want to do it, they should do it, but not on taxpayer. But this is just a fallacy, is it not, Lieutenant Governor Rodriguez?
It is. And that's the thing that bothers me. You know, I'm a nurse by background and often work with vulnerable communities. What do the numbers say? What does the data say? The vast majority of food that is purchased is regular healthy food. I mean, that's what they're purchasing. They're not purchasing Skittles. They're not purchasing. They could rarely do that. But here's what you're telling people. You can't get a birthday cake for your child. Mm-hmm. You can't throw a party and maybe get some cupcakes for the school. Like, are you kidding me? That's the level of micromanagement at what we're going to do to families who are just trying to get by and survive. I mean, come on. It's just absolutely silly.
It really is. Let's move on to the budget at large here. Of course, Wisconsin has a biennial budget, meaning it's every 2 years. And unlike Washington, D.C., if the legislature and the governor can't come to an agreement, we continue on current levels for another 2 years. People hope that that doesn't come to that. Help us sort this out, Lieutenant Governor Rodriguez. You know, you hear all kinds of different things. The Republican legislature, Speaker Voss and Majority Leader LeMahieu. Well, you know, the governor doesn't want to negotiate or sit down. The governor says he's waiting for Republicans to talk to him. Help real Wisconsin. I mean, I think most people, not political nerds like me, just say, look, you guys are elected to work this out. We have a $4 billion surplus. What gives? Give us the inside scoop, Lieutenant Governor.
Well, you know, it is frustrating. And they have been talking to each other. They've absolutely been talking to each other. So this narrative that the governor is not willing to come and discuss anything, it's simply not true. They've been having conversations and, you know, they want to make sure that they're having some of these lower level conversations before they bring in some of the decision makers on what they're going to do for some compromises on the budget. But the reality is that the Joint Finance Committee basically stripped down the governor's budget to what they call base budget. And then they're kind of adding pieces in here and there. But they, you know, they have control in that Joint Finance Committee, the Republicans do. But at the end of the day, they know that there are really important priorities for the governor, whether that's education. We know he's the education governor, whether that's healthcare, trying to bring in some additional revenue into the state, you know, making sure we can have appropriate funds for childcare. And I am hopeful that they are going to continue to have conversations in good faith, that they are going to produce a budget that the governor can sign. Because at the end of the day, he does have that line item veto power. He can do some of those pieces, but he also has the power to veto the entire budget if he chooses to. Mm-hmm. So these are the kind of things that we want to make sure doesn't happen. We want to have a budget on July 1st when it is required to be completed. July 1st. Mm-hmm. When it's required to be completed, that's what we want. I imagine that's what the Republicans want as well. So let's just get to work. I think you're right. When I talk to people all over the state, they're just like, we don't care. We just want you to work for the betterment of Wisconsinites. That's what we want. We're tired of the partisanship.
Is there anything to this that Republicans now are considering instead of doing what would be called an omnibus budget bill? That's political talk for putting everything in the same pot and passing it like we usually do, kind of breaking this out into individual bills to try to usurp the governor's veto pen? Or do you think that's just hyperbole and hype?
There's all sorts of rumors out there about what they're going to do, but they have to be able to be responsive to their voters in 2026 about why they didn't want to invest in childcare, why they didn't want to invest in healthcare, why they wanted to leave people hungry in schools. So I would very much hope that they are going to be working in good faith and that we can come to a compromise for July 1st.
What are those things in the budget, of course, is our state university system. There's a story on Channel 3000 this morning, a CBS affiliate here in Madison. UW-Madison campus leaders said today that they were ready to support students after U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio said the government would begin revoking the visas of some Chinese students. And then later on, it says, we are deeply concerned about the impact of such a policy on our Chinese student community, unquote, according to a UW statement. Lieutenant Governor Rodriguez, break this down for us a little bit, because our university system, whether people like to know it or admit it or not, there is a business side to this. And foreign students pay more than Wisconsin in resident students. And if this were to go through, not only do I think it would degrade the university experience by not having another view in your colleagues or in your classmates, but there's a real financial burden for the state of Wisconsin if this goes through as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. So if you think about it, in-state, out-of-state tuition, right? You know, I mean, we all know about that if you go to a different state, you're going to pay out-of-state tuition. And we know that that's more expensive. So when we have students from overseas who come into the UW system, which is a significant portion of our student body, I mean, I'm worried about those Chinese students as well and the community there and all international students. Mm-hmm. But the reality is the vast majority of them pay full fare.
Correct.
They pay 100% of the tuition. And so what happens is if we lose those students, if we lose those international students, guess what? Wisconsinites in-state tuition is going to go up because they're going to have to be able to still continue to provide the services that they have within the UW system with less money. So that is going to impact Wisconsin students as well. So even though you may think, I always say this, you may think these decisions that are happening in Washington, D.C. has nothing to do with what's happening in Madison or what's happening in Viroqua, Wisconsin. It is. There's all sorts of effects from these cuts and from these political decisions that are being made with no thought to what the consequences might be on the ground.
Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, always appreciate your time. You are part of what makes Wisconsin great. We come back soon and we will talk more. We thank you very much for being here today.
Thank you so much. All right, bye-bye.
Our pleasure. Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, when we come back, the 14 best places to live in Wisconsin. Stay with us.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Tallable Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 8 minutes before the hour of 3 o'clock. Coming up in hour two, another thrilling edition of What's Worse. Well, we hope it's thrilling. Are you too busy or nothing to do? What's worse? We'll talk about that in hour two. Also, be thinking. Put your thinking caps on. We want you to call or text in with your worst breakups. Have you had a relationship where you went out with someone, you were in a, it was fast, it was hot, and then it was over, like a comet. It just, did you break up? And what, do you have a favorite breakup song? Because Elon Musk and Donald Trump are breaking up. Elon Musk announced.
Well, they're still going to be friends.
It's not you, it's me.
Neither of them would say that.
No, absolutely not. Well, we played it yesterday, this cut. It's an interview coming up on CBS's Sunday Morning. They're interviewing Elon Musk, or they interviewed him, was going to play on Sunday. And Musk said that, basically called out Trump, because Trump calls the reconciliation bill his quote-unquote big, beautiful bill, which is nice marketing, I guess. But Elon Musk says, well, you can either have a big bill or a beautiful bill, but I don't think you can have both.
He's not wrong.
He's not wrong about that. So, you know, now Musk announces last night or this morning that he's leaving Doge, his made-up Department of Government Efficiency, Doggy, I like to call it, leaving that tomorrow, his last day. Just like Sam Davidson, it's his last day tomorrow. We're not going to send Musk a Hot Sam t-shirt.
But for Sam, though, anything.
Anything for Sam. So anyway, we're an hour or two, we're going to talk about breakup songs. What's your best breakup song? Article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. By the way, thank you to Lieutenant Governor. I knew that was going to happen. I apologize. These darn sinuses. Many thanks to Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez for making time for us. I mean, Zobbers, that's somebody that she's a real person. You can have a real conversation. She doesn't give you spin or talking points. She just tells you what she knows and what she's hearing. And I appreciate it about her.
And it's clear that she is talking to Wisconsinites.
Yes.
And more importantly, listening to Wisconsinites.
Listening, exactly. Listening to Wisconsinites. So there's a story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today. This is from USA Today today, which I love saying. According to US News and World Report, they have listed the 14 best places to live in Wisconsin. Now, why is it 14? Why not 15? Just round it off like that.
I'm guessing that there could be a few reasons. Number one, AI-generated list.
Could be.
I hope it's not that.
I hope
But that's
not.
One reason. Yeah. Number two, the 15th was a place that the person has a personal vendetta against.
Well, I don't think this is it's a well-written article. I just thought it was interesting they chose 14.
Yeah, or maybe
because not 15.
Now we're talking about it.
Now we're talking about it. Exactly. I mean, maybe that's it. It's like, well, everybody does 15. So let's do
just
14.
Make it a little quirky.
Let's see if we can get through these. According to U.S. News and World Report today, number 14, Milwaukee. All the way down at 14. Ooh. Milwaukeeans would disagree, I'm sure. Number 13, Racine. A lot of people say Racine, but if you're from there, Racine. Number 12, Fond du Lac. Number 11, according to U.S. News and World Report, the city in which Zomers and I are in, the state capital, Madison, Wisconsin. Number 10, La Crosse. Number 9, Kenosha. Number 8, Janesville. Number 7, a stone's throw from Zahmer's hometown, Sheboygan. Sheboygan, the number 7 best place to live in Wisconsin, according to U.S. News and World Report. Number 6, home of your Green Bay Packers and WGBW and Civic Media, Green Bay, Wisconsin. Number 5, our own Chad Holmes must have stuffed the ballot box, Wausau. Wausau, WXCO, coming in at 5. Number 4, Oshkosh Bagosh, home of WISS on Civic Media. Now we're into the top 3 places, best places to live in Wisconsin, according to U.S. News and World Report. Number 3, home of WAUK, Waukesha, Milwaukee. Waukesha. Waukesha at number 3. Number 2, some of our great callers. Appleton, Wisconsin, home of Harry Houdini. Appleton, Wisconsin. And the number 1 place to live in the state of Wisconsin, according to U.S. News and World Report. Can you guess, Summers? What places have I not named yet?
Yuba.
That is a great guess.
It is a place you haven't listed.
It is a place, Yuba, Wisconsin, in Richland County. Great place. Lots of Czechoslovakians there. But no, that is not incorrect. And it's not Richland Center either. Number 1 place to live in the state of Wisconsin is home of WCFW The Tap, Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
That's cool. That makes sense.
How about that?
That makes sense, especially, you know, the arts are really continuing to build steam there.
Yeah. My sister lives there, brother-in-law, nieces, was just up there last weekend. I think for you, they've got the Pablo Center at the Confluent, a great performing arts building. They've got a lot of cool shops. Their downtown is pretty vibrant. Home of UW Eau Claire.
Which is a great school.
Great school. The alma mater of our very own Pat Kreitlow and Trigvi Olsen. And it's just it's a cool city. They have lots of things to do there. Good quality of life. Shopping, all that kind of stuff. So congratulations to Eau Claire, Wisconsin, for being named the number 1 place to live in the state of Wisconsin by U.S. News and World Report. Congratulations. I think that's pretty cool. Get some recognition there. So there you go. That's the entire list, according to U.S. News and World Report. We're going to do a little news, weather, and sports. Come on back in hour number 2. What's worse? And breaking up is hard to do, but Trump and Musk have done it. It's the All Balls Show on Civic Media.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.